You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, there was an announcement from the administration that after a 19-month freeze due to COVID-19, the U.S. is announcing that it will reopen land borders with Canada and Mexico next month. And that's for non-essential travel. And they will demand that all international visitors be fully vaccinated. I think that's wonderful. The borders should be open to travel, to people legally traveling. But my question is, hey, Joe, what about all those couple million of people that have traveled over the border unvaccinated and bringing COVID along with them? What about those people?
Right. And what I was thinking about when I read that was, how are they going to know who is vaccinated exactly? What system are they using to determine that? And also, how are they defining vaccinated? Right here in America, we have the Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna vaccines, basically. Around the world, there are other vaccines. You know, the Chinese vaccine, I think it's called Sinovac, is very ineffective at preventing COVID and worse at the Delta variant. How do we know what if someone comes across the border and says they're vaccinated, but they have that vaccine? Are we letting them in?
No, right, they have to show a card, Rebecca. They have to show a card. They have to show the vaccine card, just like I have. And it says that you're vaccinated. And just as an aside to that, what I heard yesterday, don't know if it's true, I haven't checked it out, is that you're not even considered vaccinated if you haven't had that third booster, if you're eligible to get it. So there are a lot of questions, but I do know from traveling that you have to show your vaccine card.
Right, but will that vaccine card include not the vaccines that are not Moderna, Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson? And what do we do about that? And vaccine cards can be fraudulently created, as we know. They're being created in this country. For sure, they're being created outside of the country. What's the verification process for any of this?
That was what concerned me the most about it as well. I mean, I have my vaccination card. It looks like a library card from, you know, the 1980s that somebody just sort of wrote my name on and the date, and could be duplicated so easily no matter what. I worry about the vaccination issue, but I mean, there's already hundreds of thousands of people coming in through Texas that are unvaccinated that have been released to all the cities here in the United States, all the big cities, Boston, down in Florida, New York, Chicago. There's people all over already who aren't vaccinated. So who cares? What's the point? You know, what's the point? What are they going to do about those people? That's my question.
Well, and are we going to forever not allow people in our country that are not vaccinated as travelers? So am I going to have a vaccination in order to fly in an airplane? That's what they're talking about. And what about people that have religious or health differences about getting the vaccine and they don't want the vaccine? I mean, we're just really, really going down a path here with taking people's rights away from them. But my bigger point is the hypocrisy of opening the borders to visitors from Canada, visitors from Mexico. They have to be vaccinated with whatever is acceptable. Yet you are allowing so far over 1.6 million people to flood our border, come into our border. You are busing them, putting them on airplanes, sending them all over the country without any test, without any vaccine, and not just bringing in COVID, of which they have a 20% positivity rate on those who they have tested. They are also bringing in things that we have not seen in this country for a lot of years. So they're bringing in measles. They have had cases of polio, tuberculosis, and a number of other things that we have pretty much gotten rid of in our country, and they are reintroducing it. So how do we explain the hypocrisy of an open border that you can just walk over by the millions, and yet having to have a visitor wanting to come and see their relatives or to see tourist sites having to be vaccinated?
Right. Well, it's always explained through politics, I guess, right? The hypocrisy of this administration, sort of in many areas, is always about a political agenda. And I guess at the end of the day, it sort of always divides around along the lines of those who are sort of law abiding and rules following get one set of rules from the Biden administration, right? American citizens and visitors from other countries. If you play by the rules, you know, then you have vaccine mandates and you have requirements and rules and things you have to meet. But if you're, you know, running across the border and coming in illegally, the rules don't apply to you. So, you know, it stretches across a lot of issues, but this idea that the Biden administration sort of targets law-abiding people and sort of gives a free pass to non-law-abiding people, right? All in service of their political agenda, which is to flood purple states with, you know, new people who would likely vote for them.
The other thing that scares me about the whole thing is that all of these sort of issues kind of go back to the theory of control, where it's like, again, you feel controlled by the government. It's like the government is, to me, overstepping its boundaries and how much they are involved in our lives. And, you know, it's almost like every single aspect of the government they are seeking to control. And it seems to me that very, very slowly we are just seeping toward, we're going down this rabbit hole of, you know, little by little, they're almost dripping control into our lives and socialism and communism. And little by little, before you know it, we're gonna wake up one day and we're gonna be like, wait a minute, we're completely controlled. So it's all these little things that are gonna eventually add up to, you know, a big, huge problem that I think people aren't seeing.
Yeah, the whole situation at the border is, I mean, it's extremely tragic in so many ways. And, you know, just to have these people unvetted, not just health-wise, but criminal activity, drugs, all of those things that are pouring over our border, you know, we have had in our country 100,000 fentanyl poisonings since this border has been open as it is. That is a huge increase. The amount of fentanyl that has been confiscated at the border since Joe Biden opened the border is enough to kill every single American 8 times over, every single one of us 8 times over. And it's absolutely so outrageous to me that it is being completely ignored by the Biden administration. It's like they have horse blinders on. They just don't even want to address it. They want to let it happen as long as it can. And they just announced that Biden was going to reinstitute the stay in Mexico policy that Trump had, where if somebody is applying for asylum, they have to stay in Mexico until their hearing. Okay, that sounds really good. But the truth is that does not address all of the people that are just pouring across the border. They're not all asking for asylum. They're just pouring across the border, and we're not doing a thing about it. And we are empowering them, empowering the cartels who are now shooting at our border patrol. We are empowering them to continue to come over because we continue to, you know, accept them, put them in hotels, ship them all over the country. And in addition, the Biden administration, ladies, you know that when you hire somebody and they are illegal, you as a company are charged with a crime, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. So what a huge incentive now for even more to pour over the border, because now you can hire these people. So all of the signs that we give as an administration in this country to the world is, hey, come on in, pour over our border. We're going to give you money. We're going to pay your education for your children. We're going to give you health care. We're going to do all of these things for you. Now you can get a job. No worries. And yet their mouth says the border is closed. I mean, that is such hypocrisy. And it's, I feel like the administration is not in favor of our country. I feel like they're an enemy to our country. Who else would do this to their country? How do you do this to the people and the landowners in Texas? But it's not just Texas, even though we are at ground zero here in Texas. It's not just Texas, because these people are going all over the country and they are taking all of the resources that should go to American citizens.
Well, I mean, Biden is also giving, just also gave them another 20 million down to Mexico and Central America for the migrants. You know, the other thing that you didn't mention, Linda, was the fact that the biggest social media platform is literally is, you know, they're posting on there how to do it. And they're giving these people incentives, you know, they're advertising on there how to smuggle yourself into the country. You know, they're saying it's if you want to get from Mexico into McAllen, Texas, it's $1,500. If you want to get from Mexico to Houston, it's $5,000 or $6,000, you know, and it's basically like advertising their services. So no one has anything to say about that as well. And Facebook is so pervasive. It's so powerful. It's literally social media now is, you know, it is the way that people communicate. And so, you know, they don't have anything to say about that. I mean, they can shut down somebody like Trump, who was a president of this country, but anybody wants to advertise about bringing migrants into this country illegally, no problem, go right ahead. I think that's outrageous too. It just feels like, it does feel like they don't care about this country. It does feel like they don't even like the country. So I don't understand what people, you know, how they could support an administration like this. What are they supporting actually? It's taking us down.
Oh, it's taken us down a long way. Yes.
I sort of had a question for the two Texas women, right? Linda, you're there now, and Lisa, you're from there. What I sort of struggle with is we have a Republican governor in Texas. Took him a long time to take any action against the Biden administration's sort of push to bring in all these illegal immigrants. And he still isn't doing really enough. And it sort of makes me think, I mean, that nobody rivals the Democratic Party and currently, and this current administration in terms of welcoming in illegal immigrants. I mean, they're uniquely egregious in their behavior. But the Republican Party hasn't done a great job either of pushing back. And I just wonder if you have any insight into, just take Texas. Why hasn't Governor Abbott taken better action, earlier action? He let this go on for many months before calling out the National Guard, before taking any measures to fight back. And I, you know, states have rights and he has power. He didn't seem to use it to great effect. And I wonder if you have any thoughts as to why.
You know, I don't know why, but I will tell you that I asked that very question of our congressman in person last week. He did a talk right here where I live about what really is happening on the border. And that was the question I asked, because I love Governor Abbott. I think he's an outstanding governor. But I said, why have we not done more on our border? And we have 19,000 National Guard in Texas. Why are they not every single one of them deployed on that border? And there's a couple of reasons. One is they're window dressing. They can't do a thing. They don't have the authority. It's this big, and I don't understand it, Rebecca, all of it, but it's this, every time that Governor Abbott takes a step, he is sued by the federal government. Okay, what we feel and what our congressman feels, who is Chip Roy, is that we need to do it anyway, that we need to just defy them. And we need to send all of our sheriff's extra deputies down to the border, have deputize them to make arrests at the border. Do everything that you can do, get people out there. It is a question we all have in Texas. Why can't we do more? Because we do have states' rights. And I think that Governor Abbott, I don't know. And here's what I'll tell you. Actually, I'm having lunch with Governor Abbott in about 2 weeks. And I'm going to ask him that question to his face. And I really want to know the answer, because it's something that disturbs all of us. But I don't know that he's not doing everything that he can do. I only know what I see. And I think that there are a lot of other agencies who can do things. So the sheriff's agencies can do things. In other words, they can deputize their and get permission from the attorney general to deputize people at the border to make arrests. So we can do all of these things. Governor Abbott also has raised a lot of money and instituted building our own wall. It's not Trump's wall, which was much bigger and stronger. And by the way, our country is paying $5 million a day for all of that material that is sitting doing nothing because Biden stopped the wall. So we are in Texas building more wall as we speak. And we have built some in that Del Rio area. But, you know, if all of these things take time. I'm totally with you. Why didn't we start sooner? Arizona, the same thing. California is doing nothing either. But we seem to have the biggest exposure at the border in Texas. And what the Biden administration has done is they have taken some areas at the border and they have literally rented every hotel room in hotels in these small towns. And they are putting COVID positive immigrants that they find in those hotel rooms. Now, they don't have to stay there. So they can leave and they can go wherever they want. But they are given this hotel room with the idea that hopefully they will stay until they are, you know, their 10 days is over. And then they bus them to wherever they want to go. So this is such a horrible, sad joke, what we are doing. And it's so illegal. It's so against our Constitution. It's so against our, you know, not just our state rights, but our rights as a country to have borders and have secure borders. It all goes against it. So what I will say to you that in 2 weeks, Rebecca, we'll have another discussion because I am going to ask that question to his face. I can tell you that our congressman feels that everyday Texans like me should get out and be much more vocal about it. And I agree. And it's always this thing with conservatives, what do we do all day? We're working, we're raising our families. We're not out in the streets demonstrating. It is the people that are, I don't know, they don't have jobs. They don't have other things to do. I don't know, that are out making all this noise while we're, you know, trying to live our lives. So it's a huge catch 22. There are things going on right now in Texas behind the scenes. And, you know, we'll have to see.
It also feels, Linda, I wonder if you sort of feel this way, but I feel that conservatives and Republicans feel that they've lost the cultural message on immigration. It's all about human dignity, and even the arguments against this surge at the border that the right was making felt a lot like that argument about, well, this is not a humanitarian way to treat people, and look at all the smuggling and the rapes on the journey and the people who died. We were focusing on the human element, which was a response to the Democratic narrative, rather than proactively pushing a narrative about economics and national security, which are data-driven and true. And we're sort of always reacting to the left rather than, you know, pushing our own view of the world. And that's part of the problem too. There's like fear. You don't want to be called a racist. You don't want to be called, a xenophobe. And that those fears drive some of the Republican action and inaction on these issues. And I don't expect Governor Abbott to say that that's what's been driving him. But I wonder if there isn't something deep in the psyche of American conservatives now. We're so afraid to talk about these issues that we don't do what we would naturally do or should be doing for fear of being
labeled.
You're
absolutely right. We've been shamed and we've been, you know, kind of put in our place and we take it and we don't come out and we don't speak out. And we should be doing all of those things. And it's not just people like you and I, where are the conservatives and the Republicans in Congress? Where are these people and why aren't they speaking out? And I don't hear, other than from our own congressmen like Ted Cruz and Chip Roy, I don't hear a lot of talk about the border. It seems like, you know, everything's going centering on Biden's, his goals, you know, his boondoggle $3.5 trillion and all, which is going to also give these people amnesty, by the way. So he thinks that he's going to get more votes, but you're absolutely right. We are all disappointed in Republicans for not being louder, being more proactive, turning that message around from being on the defensive to being on the offensive. Just in Texas, or even from Our Ladies of Liberty shows and from my Talking While Married show, we get responses from people like, well, how could you say that? You know, these poor people, they're just trying for a better life. Do you know who's coming in your country? I mean, on Talking While Married, we do the stats of how many of these illegal immigrants are responsible for the deaths of American citizens. I just told you 100,000 fentanyl poisonings. It is so dramatically up in my own small town, and I am not a border town. In my own small town, we have seized enough fentanyl, and I'm in a town of under 15,000 people. We have seized enough fentanyl to kill everybody in this town. This is crazy. They come right through the 10 corridor, right? And they go to Houston, which is where all the stash houses are, and they take all their drugs there. How many of our children do they have to kill before we speak up? There are so many reasons for us to be so outraged, so proactive.
Right. And we have to free ourselves from this sort of narrative, right? I mean, of course there are people coming across the border to look for better lives. If I were living in, you know, Guatemala, I might do the same. But that is not a policy directive, right? That's a human reality. It's emotional. It's a thing to consider, but it is not the thing to build an American immigration policy around, because there are billions of people around the world who'd like to come here for a better life. Of course, there are a lot of people in the world who suffer and have terrible lives, and they'd do better if they were here.
But we can't take care of them all. We can't.
Right, so there has to be some thoughtful policy around it, not just emotion.
It's also partly, I think, due to the media. You know, anytime somebody does speak out, you're basically shut down, you're canceled. They've taken control over the narrative, and you see how that's played out. So I don't think the Republicans are all to blame. I do think that there is an inherent problem, and that we should be more vocal. The Democrats have no problem, you know, calling out all of their causes. They have no problem vocalizing. We should do the same. But I do think that when you do finally hear somebody who does speak up, they are shut down. They are canceled off of social media. They are not allowed to speak. They're canceled, whatever you know method that is used, they're shut down. So we are up against a much larger obstacle as well in trying to get that message out, I think.
Well, I think we definitely are. And like you say, the media is totally focused on only the progressive message anymore. But, you know, you're talking about Facebook. So on Facebook, I am not a serial Facebook poster, but I do post little things once in a while. And they're very brief, and they are political, or they, you know, they will say something about the administration. And I have got, I think I'm on their target list now, because everything I post gets a warning on it that, well, this may not be true. And it's so funny, because it's not even things that would be true or false, you know, that they're just like kind of like little memes, right? Yet I could post how to smuggle people into the United States of America illegally, and that would be okay. That's just another hypocrisy to me, that you can do one thing and not the other. And Facebook, Google, all of these people have way, way too much power, way too much influence over our children, way too much influence over the voting. And it's very scary to me, because I feel like our voice doesn't matter, because we are drowned out by these huge, huge companies who have a socialist agenda. And what can we say? Although I do see a tide turning in our country of people who don't like any of this. And I think that it's going to be a red wave in 2022. Unfortunately, we have to wait another year for that red wave.
A lot can happen between now and then. I see a red wave coming also, but you just can't, I don't, that doesn't give me enough confidence that's actually going to happen. I just don't trust these Democrats, and they are devious in their ways. And I think that they see the same thing coming. And I suspect that they're behind the scenes trying to pull something right now to avoid that red wave. You know, like, for example, you know, somebody like Mark Zuckerberg using all his money and his influence via Facebook to influence elections. You know, anything could happen. So I think if the country was on the up and up, and everything was, you know, kind of, you know, taken at face value, and you had fair and balanced elections, and we could have confidence that the elections were fair, I do think there would be a red wave. But I'm not so sure that that's going to happen, just based on all the deviousness going around behind the scenes. So that makes me a little nervous, Linda, to sort of bank on that red wave next year.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It was was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And this is Linda Martinelli. I am an entrepreneur and a business owner. I'm also the host, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, of Talking While Married, right here on America Out Loud, every weeknight at 8 p.m. So please join us there. And I'd like to introduce my co-hosts. We have Alisa Akron-Gold. Alisa has been a network TV producer, and she worked with Good Morning America Sunday and 2020. She is a mother, she is a wife, and she is in Connecticut today. Welcome, Alisa. And Rebecca Sugar. Rebecca is also a mother of two, and she has been a philanthropic advisor, a freelance writer. She is very well published in places like the Wall Street Journal, Spectator, USA Today. And welcome to you. And Rebecca is from New York City. So ladies, now that we have all of these new guests in America, and they have been shipped to your towns and my towns, what do we do with them? What do we expect? And what does this look like going forward?
Well, that is the problem, Linda. That's so, you know, yes, the problem is that they've come in and they've brought drugs and they've brought disease and they've brought all kinds of hardship to landowners and to businesses. But now, okay, they're here. They're dispersed throughout the country. They have kids with them. Do the kids go to our schools? Do they get sick and go to our hospitals? Are we paying for that? There's no insurance. So the people who are insured are going to be paying for those medical fees. It's staggering the amount of money that we are going to have to pay out in order to take care of these people now. So what do we do? I don't know what the answer is to that. I have no answer to that. I know that they have taken some of the border control people and put them in charge of caretaking some of the migrants while they're, I guess, until they are dispersed to whatever city they're going to be going to. But what happens when they fly into Chicago and they get off the plane? Where do they go? I don't even know. I don't know what the answer is to that. And I don't know where they stay. And I don't know what happens to those kids and who feeds them. And who gives them shelter? What happens? I don't know the answer to that. Scary.
Yeah, and I think that what we don't talk about a lot in the media, certainly mainstream media, is the our costs to the average American taxpayer. I mean, there's a lot of talk about how illegal immigrants do pay taxes and, you know, and all that. But at the end of the day, we all understand, of course, that sort of, you know, everything from English as a second language courses that have to be provided for kids in schools, you know, there's a price tag to that. It's not just the things we think about like housing or medical, which are enormous, but all these other sort of adjacent costs to having illegal immigrants. And also the idea that, you know, with chain migration and new rules that are developing around that all the time under the Biden administration and who you can bring in. And they've expanded the definition of who can apply to bring in family members from other countries to now include people like legal guardians. And so the expansion of the pie of who can bring in whom from other countries, you know, based on family relationships means that, you know, not just young, healthy, go get them kind of, you know, immigrants, that's the image the media wants us to see, are coming into this country. And many of them are, you know, hardworking, decent people, obviously, But people are also bringing in their parents and their grandparents who are aging and require more medical care and require more services. So the financial burden on the country is significant and not being talked about enough. And then, of course, you know, I always find it interesting this sort of idea that people talk all the time about how immigrants, especially illegal immigrants, are coming to this country to take the jobs that Americans won't do. You know, that's just said so many times, we all just accept it as true, right? Illegal immigrants are cleaning hotel rooms and no American wants to do that. Turns out that's not really true, or at least it's not provably true that Americans don't want those jobs. But, you know, it's also true that having people come in who'll do jobs for $7 or $8 an hour, right? Americans probably don't want to be paid, you know, such bare wages. But the same people who sort of talk about that are the people who are talking about increasing the minimum wage, right? So it's sort of funny, you bring in a bunch of people who depress wages and make it possible for companies to pay people nothing per hour. And then at the same side of the other side of your mouth, you're saying everybody deserves, you know, $15, $20 an hour for a job. You know, it's not really a consistent message.
What obligation do we have though in to take care of them? Are we obligated? Or, you know, what are we legally obligated to do? And then does it just become a moral issue?
Well, New York State, where I am, or New York, you know, issued all these rules recently about, you know, during COVID, of course, they use that as an opportunity. We're now paying for back rent for illegal immigrants or people, you know, irrespective of immigration status, I think they say. And we're paying, I think each person got, you know, what was it, like $2.5 billion was assigned for each person to get up to $16,000 per household, you know, irrespective of immigration status. And those arguments are made on moral grounds, right? Like, how could we have to take care of human beings? These are human beings. These are your neighbors. You often hear that kind of language around it. And in a sense, those things are true in some moral sense, I guess. But again, that's not necessarily how you build policy for a state or a country. And so like, we keep conflating the two. And I think the moral argument has to be built into or baked into a policy, but it shouldn't be the policy, sort of how I look at it. And I think that's largely the problem when we talk about these things. The left only wants to talk about the moral argument, and the right is afraid to fight back against that argument, you know, so they don't sound like monsters. But the left is wrong. It's not only a moral argument. And the more we kind of stick to that one way of looking at this question, then the more we're going to lose.
Well, is it moral that we all pay taxes so that we can enjoy the services that, you know, our taxes pay for, and that we give them to millions of illegal immigrants? I mean, I don't think that that's any kind of fairness. And when you bring these people in, first of all, everybody that crosses that border has to go through the cartel. 100% of them have to go through the cartel. And they each wear a bracelet, and that bracelet or wristband, that wristband is color coded, and it's got information, and it tells how much those people owe to the cartel. So everybody's charged for coming over that border. We are enriching the cartel in Mexico beyond imagination. It is their biggest source of income, which historically has been drugs and trafficking, is now sex trafficking, is now people trafficking across the border. That is their biggest source of income, $14 million a day. So they wear this band, and they get in, and let's just say that they come in Del Rio, Texas, and then they end up in Boston. Well, in Boston, the first thing that they have to do is they have to check in with their cartel representative there, because they still owe money. So these people are kept track of with the threat of death, with the threat of death to their family members, to pay this money. So they have to find a job, which up until Joe Biden just changed it, has been illegal for them to get a job because they were illegal, not citizens, not people with green cards. So they have to get a job, and that money is going to go to the cartel. And until their debt is paid off, they are basically the prisoners of the cartel still. then they have, as we talked about, they have needs for medical care, and there's all kinds of medical problems coming over the border, all kinds of them. So yes, we are going to take care of them, and it's going to be at our expense. Then they have children that need to go to school. And yes, they're going to be in our schools with our children. And the problem that comes from that is, as you said, Rebecca, they don't have language skills. So now we have to kind of hold everybody else back as we get these kids up to speed, or we need to put them in some sort of programs, and we need to hire more people to handle those kind of programs so that they can get the language skills that they need in order to, you know, understand and learn in the same classroom with our kids. There are so many facets to this, and that is not to even mention the amount of people coming over from Yemen that are in these groups of people from Latin America, because they have similar skin coloring. They blend in. And do those people mean us harm? Are we allowing terrorists to come into our country? And speaking of open borders, Joe Biden has dropped the terrorist, the immigration from terrorist countries like Afghanistan, so that people that worked for the Taliban can now come over here. I mean, we are setting ourselves up for another 9/11. How do you not see that? Then we have the people that are coming over the border who are not necessarily the best and brightest that these countries have to offer. So we have people that do have massive criminal backgrounds coming over. Not everybody. There are wonderful people, I am sure, coming over the border as well. But we're not making any effort to tell the difference so everybody gets in. So you have people that are drunk driving. Again, if it's your husband, your child, your relative who is killed by that drunk driver, that's a huge effect. Your life is never the same. You have people that are here from MS-13 gang members. You have people that are here with that are drug dealers. And when you set these people up, all of these people that come over that have to still pay the cartel, a really easy way for them to make quick money is by distributing drugs. I mean, there are prisons, which we have been closing, and which now we're letting people out on their own recognizance, no bail. Now, when these people get arrested, it's going to be no bail for them. And we're all re-victimized in so many ways. What about us, the law-abiding, working, tax-paying citizen? That's what really, really bothers me. And that I, in a very, very tiny town, have to now worry about sending out children into the community, even to trick-or-treat, because we have an element that has shown up here that we have never had before. It's very scary.
Well, even if they are processed, even if they're given due process and they're processed in the courts, you know, they don't show up for the courts. That's not, that's definitely not enforced.
1%, 1% show up.
None, you know, 1%. Yes, exactly. So there's no recourse. There's nothing that anybody can do about it. As long as the administration allows this to happen, there's nothing that any of us can do. You could scream and shout from the rooftops, but it's almost like they've put the problem on the American people. And again, it has taken the country down. What are we going to do with these people? Are they going to help us improve the country? I mean, if that's the case, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that every single one of these people has huge potential to contribute to the country and pay taxes. You know, that would even be years and years and years away if that were to happen. We would have to educate all of them. We would have to provide them housing and healthcare and food and everything that they would need in order for that to happen. And you know that's not going to happen. So I don't understand what the Biden administration's plans are for these people and why they think that it's okay just to have these bleeding hearts and let them in like this. I shake my head sort of in disgust and just in disappointment in the direction that this country's going in. You know, we have a very bleak future, in my opinion.
Well, I think the obvious answer, right, Elisa, is that, you know, why are they doing it? For votes. They just want these people, you know, first generation immigrants tend to vote, Hispanic immigrants in particular tend to vote for Democrats. And so, and they're not sending them to states like Tennessee by accident, right? So, I mean, it's a political agenda, obviously, and
but really do they actually not care about the country? Do you really feel like, do you think the Democrats really just don't care about the country and it's all about the votes?
No, I don't. I think Democrats care about the country. I think certain people in positions of power, you know, who are Democrats care more about their power than the country. But Democrats, as a, you know, my friends who are Democrats obviously care about the country. But I think there are clearly people at the heads of the party who just view this as a power play. And they, you know, they can't, they obviously, based on poll numbers, can't convince Americans that their policies are good. So they just, you know, they're not going to win by implementing their policies and getting Americans to sign on. So they just, you know, try to import people and get more votes in the log. I mean, and you know, what I find also interesting about this conversation is that Hispanics and Latinos in this country increasingly don't favor open borders. Like even the people that Democrats pretend are supporters of this kind of policy and who think will react most to the idea that anybody who's against them are racists, right? Hispanics themselves don't like open borders. I think of my my mother had a housekeeper for decades. She came to this country from Guatemala legally, maybe 40 some odd years ago. Christina, she still can't speak English very well, funny enough. But she brought over one by one, each member of her family. They all came through legal means. She told me that she voted for Donald Trump in the last election. Why? Because she was at the grocery store in Portchester, in Westchester, New York, where she lives. There's a big Hispanic community there. And she saw people she knew were illegal immigrants in front of her paying for their food with SNAP cards, which, you know, I didn't even know that you could legally get, you know, food assistance cards issued by the government if you're illegal, but
yes,
I guess
you can.
I wouldn't. So that was my awakening. And she was so incensed by it, the injustice of it. You know, here she was, she said, someone who worked to the bone. She lost her son, was born here, went to college, an incredible young man, and he ended up dying of AIDS, sadly. But she gave everything to be here and to give her son a better life. And to, she worked hard and never took anything that she didn't earn. And she did it the right way. And then in front of her is somebody buying meat that she couldn't afford on her salary with government assistance, and they weren't even legal. And so this idea that Hispanics in this country want open borders because, you know, if you don't want it, you're a racist is not even true. So who is the Biden administration really appealing to, right? And just one other thought is that I just think that nobody will do anything about this unless it affects them personally. People don't, this all is a little bit abstract because most of us don't think we feel the pinch. We do, but we don't think we do of the pressure that this is putting on the country financially and otherwise. And another friend of mine was telling me a story about a girlfriend of hers in California who's quite liberal and used to fight with her about immigration issues all the time. And until she came home one day and found someone swimming in her swimming pool, happened to be an illegal immigrant. She later learned somebody just sort of, I don't know, she lives in California. I guess he just come across the border and was shipped over there. And, you know, it sort of almost made me laugh because, you know, literally until they're swimming in your swimming pool, this woman was all of a sudden, born again conservative on this issue. So I think a lot of people just think that the government has some big pot of money that it didn't actually come from them and their taxpayer dollars. They think it belongs to the government and the government's going to divvy that money up. And what does it matter to me if another 500,000 people come here and they're probably nice people? I think most people just sort of delude themselves or kind of live in a little bit of a dreamland and don't understand how it really works. And then people at the top of the Biden administration are cynical and take advantage of that kind of sentiment and want power more than they want what's good for the country.
Well, I think it is definitely a power play. And that's what this is that they're hoping for insurmountable votes that the Republicans cannot, you know, get past. And that is the goal. But I'm with you. Rebecca, in hearing that and knowing for sure in Texas that areas of Texas near the border that have been traditionally completely Democratic are no longer so, and they voted for Trump. And I assure you that they will vote for whoever is running on the Republican ticket because they hate what's happening. And that, you know, they have come here, whether they've come here legally or illegally, a lot of them have come legally, but those who have been here for a long time, they don't like what they're seeing at all. You know, and if people think this doesn't affect them, right now, today, as we're talking, every single American taxpayer owes the government to pay the debt that they've created about $250,000. So that's going to just go up more and more. And we are going to saddle our children and our grandchildren with all of these problems and all of this debt. When you're trying to build a country and to make a country better, you don't bring in the kind of the worst of society. You want to bring in the best of society. The Democrats have the White House, they have the House, and they have an equal amount in the Senate, but Kamala Harris is the deciding vote there. Why didn't they just amend the rules of immigration as they've been talking about, as is their job and their responsibility as our congresspeople to do, instead of just opening the border? And during this entire 9 months that we have seen this complete, you know, disaster at the border, just in the last couple of weeks, Biden has stopped even more of the border wall being built. So areas that he hadn't canceled the contracts in, he canceled the contracts. So he's doubling down. You know, they speak out of both sides of their mouth. You don't see the border czar, Kamala Harris, down at the border doing anything whatsoever. Nothing is happening. And you're right, we did give them another, what was it, $20 million to Mexico? Well, the purpose of that money is because they're having to pay all of these additional costs due to all these people flowing through Mexico to get to our border. So we're helping them out. We're not closing the border. We're not doing anything to mitigate who's coming over. We're just helping the Mexican government, and they're happy to take the money. So, I mean, this is, it's just so wrong in so many ways. If people don't feel and believe that they're going to be affected by this, they're just wrong. Everybody is affected. Everybody will be affected. As I say, I'm in a very small town. I get a list every single day of the people that were arrested in my little community. And I am seeing more and more people that have come over the border. And it's two things. Well, now it's three things. It is drugs. It is drunk driving by people, by the way, who don't even know our traffic laws as they're coming over the border. They're not in their own vehicles either. It is burglaries, because anytime you have drugs, you have burglaries, property thefts, all of those types of things. So nobody is going to be immune from this. And it's very scary to me. And this is a power grab to get votes. And we need to be, you know, fighting it every which way we can, mostly by our own votes. And I agree with you when you say that people, they're, you know, we got disenfranchised in the last election in many ways, because if we believe that that election was stolen, nobody was willing to prove to us that it wasn't. So that's all that we asked, you know, just recount the votes and get out the duplicates, check the signatures, do the things that you should do. But they never did that. So we are pretty down about that as conservatives, but it only re-energizes me to make sure that I vote in every single election and have a say. And I'm hoping it does that with all conservatives in the country, because we absolutely have to have the votes.
You know, Linda, I also just wanted to say, when you meet with Governor Abbott, another question to ask him, which I'd be curious the answer to, is what would be different I know some things would be different if there were a Republican administration, but we've had Republican administrations in the past in which immigration reform was not undertaken. I mean, there are incentives for Republicans who care about sort of big corporations who like cheap labor to continue the illegal immigration sort of, not to the extent that Biden has, but to continue the march across the border. So what would be different? I mean, only Trump, who really was neither Republican nor Democrat, to be honest, but, you know, affiliated with the Republicans, only Trump really did anything definitive. It wasn't even an entire project, but at least he started to get things done to stem the tide. Nobody before him really did much of anything. So should we win in 22, both houses, you know, God willing, we still have a Democratic president. So there's not, you can't sort of just get things done. But what if we had, you know, a Republican president in 24 and a Republican House and Senate? What would Republicans really do on any of these?
We don't know that yet because we don't know who would be running. But what they could do and what they should do is solve this immigration issue once and for all with whatever laws that are needed. I definitely want somebody that's going to rebuild that wall because the wall did work. It absolutely did work. You can talk to any country like Turkey and some of the other countries that built laws, or was it Hungary? I forget. That built laws, I mean, built walls that... Yeah. That worked for them and they worked for us. So
I just wonder if any Republican other than Trump really will do any of this. I hope so.
I think DeSantis would. I actually do. I think that the group that I can see that would be running, all of them, I think would absolutely do those things. So, you know, but that's something. First, we've got to worry about 2022. That's what we've got to really worry about right now, is we've got to get the House and the Senate back so that we can at least stop this Biden agenda. And that way we can, you know, stop the bleeding or, you know, start recovering. Yeah. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. If we don't win in 22, I see us going down a 40-year hole here. We are going to be in serious trouble. The damage that they can do over the next, you know, four to, who knows if he's going to be reelected or if he's even going to be able to run again. But if another Democratic president, another Democratic Congress, we are in deep, deep trouble. One that I fear we would not be able to dig out of.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.